Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf HaYomi, Bava Basra Daf Kuf Yud. We are holding four lines off the top of the Amud and back to the topic of marriage and Shidduchim. Amar Rava, Hanoisei Isha, before one marries a woman, Tzorech Sheivdek Be'achia, he needs to first do some research, check into her brother's character. Shenemar, as we find in the Pasuk, Vayikach Aaron, Es Elisheva, who did Aaron marry? He married someone, Elisheva, who was Bas, the daughter of Aminadav. Who else do we know to be a child of Aminadav? Well, the famous Nachshon, Ben Aminadav, who jumped into the Yamsuf, right? So why then does the Pasuk have to spell it out? Achois Nachshon, she was sister of Nachshon. I mean, it's obvious. Mimash Mashenemar, Bas Aminadav. What? The Pasuk informs us that she, that Elisheva, was daughter of Aminadav. Isn't it clear and obvious? Any idea? Don't I already know? She'achos Nachshon, that she's the sister of Nachshon. Ma tamu loymer, if so, why does the Pasuk take the trouble to spell it out, Achos Nachshon, to teach us a lesson? They are connected. Brothers play a role. They're important players. And therefore, we must first confirm that they're of good stock. Mekan she'anoise isha, we learn from here that when one marries, Tzorech she'yivdek be'achia, he needs to first check into her brothers. Tana, in fact, we learned in a brisa. Because roiv banim, most sons, some say banim means children, sons or daughters, daimen le'achayahim, they're similar in nature, have similar DNA, to whom? The brothers of the mother. So since they have similar, characteristics, you want to first figure out what's going on in her family in order to confirm that these are the type of children you want to have. And perhaps it's also connected to upbringing. You see the way they were were raised, and the way they turned out, and that's how your prospective wife turned out as well. That's how she was raised as well. And therefore, that's how, what she's going to relate to, and that's how she's going to bring up her children. So it's important to check into the family. Hanoise Isha Tzorech She'idlek Be'achia. Okay, now the Pasuk back in the story of Pesel Micha, where Micha made this Avodah Zarah, and then he was visited by none other than Yoinasan Ben Gershon, who was Ben Moshe, so he was a grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu. He came to get a job, to help out. Vayasuru, Sham Vayayimru Loi. So they asked the newcomer, what are you doing here? You're Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. What are you doing here? The Avodah Zarah. I mean, it's not becoming of you. Mi haviyacha haloyim, uma ato ase bazeh, uma lecha poi, what are you doing here? How'd you get here? So all different forms of wonderment. Mi haviyacha haloyim, ma ato ase bazeh, uma lecha poi. What's the latent message here? Why this choice of words? Amrulay. In fact, this is what they were trying to tell him. You don't belong here. And this particular choice of words was in fact reflective of their claim, of their other wonderment. Lavi Moshe Ka'asis, you come from great stock, from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chsibay, where it says the Pasuk Al Tikrav Haloim. This was by the Sneh. Hashem tells Moshe, don't get over here, don't get too close. Haloim. So the word Haloim was referred to in the Pasuk Meviyacha Haloim, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's of very lofty standing. What are you as a grandson getting involved in Avodah Zarah? Furthermore, they use the word bazeh, which is a term we find by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Lab Moshe Ka'asis, don't you hail from Moshe Rabbeinu, Sibbe, where it has the pasuk, mazeh b'yodecha. And finally, they use the word poi, which is also a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, where the word poi is found. Lab Moshe Ka'asis, don't you stem from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Sibbe, where it says, v'ata poi amoydi modi, Hashem designated Moshe Rabbeinu, come stand with me. So you with this great lineage, with this great yichus, te'asa koin of Avodah Zarah, you're going to come serve the Avodah Zarah. You're going to come be a priest, an attendant for Avodah Zarah. What are you doing here? Amalan, he says, look, I'm not submitting to Avodah Zarah. It's just a job. I need to make a parnasa. Amalan kach mekublani beis avi abba. In fact, I have a kabbalah, a tradition from where? Moshe Rabbeinu, beis avi abba, my father's father. He'd do anything for a job, anything for parnasa, rather than resorting to handout and stucco. Right? Lo elam yaskur adam asmal avodah zarah. A person should be willing to hire himself out to help out in the avodah zarah. Va'al yitzdach labrius, rather than having to succumb to handouts and to tzedaka. Now he misunderstood this point. V'usavar, he figured avodah zarah mamish, that Moshe Rabbeinu meant even resort to a job by the avodah zarah mamish. And of course, the Rashbam points out, by the way, he never meant that, get a job there and believe in it. Rashbam says, Ela shelo yehi libo avodah zarah. Of course, it means that he personally rejects the avodah zarah, but a job is a job, right? Impersonal job, that's okay, but he misunderstood. V'usavar avodah zarah mamash. He thought it meant really avodah zarah. No, that's not what it meant. It was just sort of a euphemism. Maloyi, it's incorrect. Avodah zarah means, Ela avodah zarah means avodah shezarah loy. An undignified type of job, even menial labor. Work which is foreign to him, which is beneath his dignity. That's what it meant. Of course, you can't even get involved. If I desire zarah, even for parnasa. So it was a mistake that he made. And the point wasn't about the zarah. The point was, be willing to undertake any, lowly job. Kedamarle Rav, Rav Kahana's Rav, in fact, also instructed his Talmud Rav Kahana, who was, some say he was a kayin. Netoish nivelta b'shuka. Be willing to take a job as an animal flayer, skinning the animal, the nevela in the street. V'shkoil agra, to make some money. V'loy tema, and don't consider it, unbecoming, undignified. V'loy tema gavra rabbana, don't hesitate because you're, look, I'm a big man, I'm a gavra rabbana, no, bezila b'milson, it's embarrassing for me, it's a shameful activity. No. Parnasa is something you have to do. And it's more important than, personal status. Okay, so that's of course true, but to go to the point of actually becoming an attendant of a desire, that's a bit too far. So in any case, he got this job, and what happened later on? Kivan Shiro David, when David HaMelech assumed the kingship, he sought out, the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu, and extracted him, offered him a better job, extracted him from that position. He saw Shemamayin Chavav Alapiyaser. Money is very dear to him, in which case he'll be very frugal, very careful with expenditures. He figured, oh, I have a perfect job for him. Mineu Ala Itzreis. He gave him a job as his own treasurer. Perfect. Shanamar, as the Pasuk says, Ushavuel ben Gershon ben Menashe. Or the Gershon, the Pasuk, actually Moshe. Here it says it clearly. So Shavuel, who was the same Yohanan's son, we'll see in a minute why he was, his name was changed. So he became Nogid Ala Itzreis, he became manager of the treasury. Asked the Gemara, why was he renamed Shavuel? V'chi Shavuel Shemoy, is his name really Shavuel? Well, Yonason Shemoy. I thought his name was Yonason. Amar B'yechanan. It's reflective of his repentance, of his teshuva. Shavuel means Sheshav L'Keli, returned back to Hashem B'chol Libo with his whole heart. He did teshuva. Interestingly, the Rashbam quotes a Yerushalmi, very interesting. The Pasuk says that he eventually was reappointed an attendant at the Avodah Zarah, and he lived to a very ripe old age until the Golus Ha'aretz, until the time of exile. And the Yerushalmi brings that what happened was, although David HaMelech appointed him as a treasurer, but eventually when Shlomo HaMelech took over, he flipped around, he retired all his executives, and he rehired them all. He got new treasurers, so he was unemployed and he had to go back to his old job. But the Yerushalmi asked a question. He was involved with Avodah Zarah and he lived a very long life. How could that be? How could he have bracha with this type of activity? So the Yerushalmi says he was never really committed to Avodah Zarah. In fact, it brings a whole play-by-play that he would stand there by the Avodah Zarah and you would have a customer show up, a worshiper with some sort of offering of an animal or something, and the fellow would ask Yohanan to please, offer it to Avodah Zarah and take care of it for him. He's having a rough life, and he needs the Avodah Zarah to be appeased and to bring him blessing, right? So Yohanan would ask him a couple of personal questions. He says, what are you wasting your money? I mean, you think the Avodah Zarah has the ability to do anything for you? He doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, huh? He doesn't offer you good, he doesn't offer you bad, he doesn't do anything. He's an inanimate object. So the fellow says, okay, now I'm really stuck, I'm really desperate. What do you propose? He says, you know what? Bring me a sack of flour and some eggs. I'll take care of it. I'll talk to Rabbi Zorah for you. So the fellow brought him this stuff, and as soon as he left, he had a nice lunch. So basically, he was really interfering with the activities there. He wasn't really, a willing helper. And in fact, there's another end to the story here. So somebody asked him, if in fact that Avodah Zarah is not really something that has any power, any abilities, so what are you doing here? Why are you sitting here if you don't believe in it? So he says, begin chayai. Look, it's my parnas. It's a job. So he was never really committed to Avodah Zarah. He was just putting on a show, and he made some parnasa. It was good for a job. Okay, continues the Gemara about Bona Masa'a. Back to the Yerusha arrangements. The Mishnah says, Banim, sons inherit their fathers. And in fact, even if there's a daughter on the scene, son takes priority. He gets the entire Yerusha. But the Rashbam, of course, points out that even daughters are entitled to something. With the Rabbanon, they get Isur Nechasim, that's discussed in the Ksuvas. They get a percentage of the assets to prepare them for marriage, etc. And of course, they're a supporter until they grow up and whatever. Okay, but Min HaTorah, they have no access to the Yerusha. Rather, son comes before daughter. Of course, if there's no son, daughter is entitled. But when there is a son, he accesses the entire inheritance. Minolan, how do we know this is true? How do we know that banim precede the banis? D'chsev, the pasuk says, ishkiyamus. Ishkiyamus, a person passes away, and there is no son, then, vavartem, then you pass it on to the daughter, apparently. Time with only ben. It's only because there's no son. Hayesh leben, if there's a son available, ben koidim, he comes first. Amalir papal abaye. Who says? Maybe the pasuk means, Emo, we can learn it like this. That if there is a son and daughter at the same time, they both have equal rights. They'll share the assets 50-50. Emo, we can say like this. Ika ben, there's only a son, Leroy's ben, he gets the entire thing. Ika bas, it's only a daughter, okay, she gets everything, Tiris bas. But Ika ben o bas, if we have both a son and a daughter, maybe none of them are declared as the sole heirs. Loi hai eleirus. V'loi hailers. Not this one will inherit completely. V'loi hailers. And nor will the other one inherit completely. But the Gemara at this point didn't quite understand. The Gemara says, V'eloman leirus. What do you mean? So who's going to inherit it? The Gemara thought literally that nobody's going to take it. Atu bar kosha. You mean the mayor of the town, the masa of the city, leirus, he'll get it? What do you mean to say? No, that's not what I meant. Let me explain myself. Hachika amina. No, I meant like this. That they'll both share the Yerusha equally. Iku ben Abba, suppose we have a son and daughter. They both share it. Lo yihai leirus kulei. So not this one will get the entire amount, meaning he can't grab the entire Yerusha, but lo yihai leirus kulei, nor can she inherit the entire thing. Elo rather, kadadi leirusu, let them just share the Yerusha 50-50. So true, when there's a son around, it's entirely his. As the pasuk says, look, when there's no son, it goes to the daughter. Because when it's only the son around, he gets everything. He gets priority. But of course, when there are both, son and daughter perhaps, they both split it. Only Abai responds. So what's the point of the pasuk saying, well, if there's no son, it goes to the daughter, which sounds like pasuk saying, according to you, there's no son on his own, because if he's on his own, he gets the entire thing. Otherwise, if he's not around, daughter gets. I mean, that's obvious. That's all the pasuk is teaching us. Is that when there's only son, he gets. When there's only daughter, she gets. Well, it's pretty obvious. They have no competition. Of course, they get the entire thing. Only Abai. So then, according to you, the pasuk is merely telling us, if there's only one son or one daughter around, so then that single child gets the entire thing, the entire estate. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Right? Question mark. Does the pasuk have to do that? thought the pasuk is saying, look, son gets the entire thing even when there is a sister around. But according to you, that's not the point of the pasuk. When they're both around, they split it. The pasuk is simply telling us that when there's only the son, he gets everything. When there's only a daughter, she gets the entire thing. That's pretty obvious. Well, says the Gemara, who says? Who says the daughter is even entitled to Yerush at all? Maybe that's the point of the pasuk. V'dilma kamashmal, perhaps the point of the pasuk is to teach us, to introduce the entire concept, the bas nami bas Yerushi, that the daughter as well is considered a bas Yerusha, she can be Yerush. Who says she can be Yerush at all? So there's a point of the pasuk. Well, no, that wouldn't be the point of the pasuk here. We have another pasuk for that. Hahu, that idea that a bas has the ability to inherit? That's from a different pasuk, that a daughter can be Yerush her father's estate. That's pretty obvious. So you wouldn't need another pasuk for that. Apparently our pasuk is simply coming to tell us that what? That even in the presence of a daughter, son gets the entire thing, and she's only entitled if there is no son. He says, I'll give you a different source. That ben comes before bas, son comes before daughter even when they're both here. This was by Bnei Slavchot. Right, they had no brothers. Why should our father be excluded from his family estate? He shouldn't have any Yerusha because he has no sons, can't live ben. So apparently they were acknowledging that otherwise, had he had a son, they wouldn't be complaining. They would understand why son gets and not them. Apparently son always gets priority. Even in the presence of sisters, Talmud Ein Li Ben, it's only because he has no son that they were, proposing their claims. Ho Yesh Li Ben, but even they understood if he would have had a son, Ben Kaidim, then the son comes before them. So you see that a Ben precedes Bas. Well, says the Gemara, perhaps that was their suggestion. V'duma B'nai Slavchad, the daughters of Slavchad, they were proposing this equation. Hudaka Amr Hachi, that was their perspective on things, but who says the Torah adopted it? Later on, when Hashem responded to Moshe with the arrangement, with the sequence of Yerusha, perhaps things have changed. Nitna Torah, once the Torah was given, and all the laws were set down, all the lists were established, perhaps the halacha was now established differently. So that can serve as a proof for all time. Ela Machvart, apparently the correct approach, meaning, in fact, the correct source, that a son precedes daughter, kedushan and mikar, as we explained earlier, based on the other psukim. Rabbi Omar Mihocha, have another source, that ben is kedim levas, that son gets before daughter, even when they're both around. The pasuk by Yerusha says, hakarev elav. Hakarev tells you, karev kedim. Hakarev, karev kedim, the one that's closer. In this case, son is deemed to be closer than daughter to his father, because he has elements of continuity, of takeover, as we're going to see in a minute. Umay kurva de ben mibas. In what respect do we find that a son has more kurva, has an element of closeness to father that is non-existent by daughter? Well, sheben, because a son kam tachas aviv liyada. When it comes to yud, he takes over for father. We had this the other day, right? That the father purchased a maidservant. Father can turn around and marry her using that same money, and he can allow a son to do the same. That's something unique to son, which daughter doesn't have, obviously, because it's not applicable. Daughter can't marry the maidservant. So, with respect to this halacha, we find that a son takes over for a father. Number two, ulasadei achuza, right? If we also had this the other day, if the father donates a field to the hegdish, so if a stranger comes and redeems it, comes yovel, the 50th year, goes to the kehanim. Not if the donator himself retakes it, or his son. Then it stays in the family, even past yovel. That only applies to a son, not a daughter, as the Gemara in Erechin, works out. So perhaps since we find these two elements of closeness between son and father, not applicable, not found by daughter, it would lead us to also give son priority over daughter with respect to father's estate, father's Yerusha. Well, says the Gemara, that doesn't work, because let's take them apart, one by one. When it comes to Yud, right, Yada. Bas love bas, a daughter love bas yodahi. She's not one that can do yud. It's not applicable to her, so you can't use that as an advantage over her. I mean, it's not an advantage. It's not applicable to her. And likewise, the second element, sodei achuz, nami, there as well. It's not a given. It's not a pasuk in the Torah. Because if you look in the Gemara in Erechin, how do we even know that a son has this ability? Because the Gemara there speaks about son versus brother of the donator. Who says which one is considered a takeover? And the Gemara says, well, brother, what does he have with the donor? He's a brother. Oh, Yibum, right? The donor would theoretically pass away without kids. The brother would take over the family. Well, guess what? That element of closeness is non-existent if you pit it up against the son. Because if there's a son around, then there's no Yibum. So the son, sort of, by his very own existence, by his very mere existence, overrides and deletes and obliterates his father's brother's element of closeness. There's no Yibum when there's a son. So that allows us to give the son the zechus of Sadei Achuza. He's the closest. But guess what? That same element of closeness, so to speak, applies to the daughter as well, because when there's a daughter around, there's no Yibum either. Right? So basically, you can't use Sadei Achuza as an advantage, as a milo that a son has over the daughter, if she also has the same element of closeness like the son does to their father. Both son and daughter would eliminate the need for the Yibum to take place. So they're both considered bona fide, continuity elements of the father, carryovers of their father. Sade Achuza Nami. Additionally, the idea that a son has the Sade Achuza connection, also Mehapir Chagufa Hudaka Deha. Kaimli Latana. The following argument is what allowed us to establish that a son, in fact, has the Sadei Achuza takeover. What's the argument? Because when we put him up against the brother, we said, no, brother is totally irrelevant. In the face of a son, Klum Yis Yibum, brother has a Yibum connection, okay, but the whole Yibum is only Elvim Akim Shein Ben, but there's no son around. But when there's a son, and likewise when there's a daughter, there's no Yibum, so we see that son and daughter, in this respect, have the same, occupy the same status. So you can't prioritize son over daughter. El machvarta, rather, the correct source, that a son takes priority with respect to father's Yerusha over daughter, kedushanam yikara, as per our initial source on the top of the Amud. Alternatively, we have another source. It's nachaltam oisam, levnechem achareichem. The pasuk speaks about inheriting the your slave, and it's passed on to the sons. B'neichem, v'lo b'neisechem, only sons and not daughters. So we see that sons take priority. Elamiat, if that's the case, if you're going to dwell on b'neichem and limit it to sons, what about the pasuk in Kriyashma? Right? If we act properly, Hashem gives us long life. L'man yirbu, yameichem, v'mei b'neichem. Yours and your children's lives will be lengthened. So here too, hachanam, here too, b'neichem means and not daughters, v'lo b'neisechem, so the bracha is limited to sons? No, says the Gemara, that's different. Bracha Shani, when Hashem gives a blessing, it's all encompassing. It's the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, men and women equally, so you can't split the two. But over here, when it speaks about it, it's Nachalta Moisim, by Yerusha, it says Livneichem, it's limited to sons. Okay, so in conclusion, when one passes on, the Yerusha goes firstly to the son, if there is one, and it's totally his, even if there is a daughter around. Otherwise, if there's no son, then it moves on to daughter, then to father, brothers, uncles. We have brothers who share a father. The Yerusha goes back and forth, they exchange inheritance, they're Yerush from each other. That's only because they share a father. But if they're brothers from a mother, not the father, then this is not applicable. How do we know this? That the true brotherhood connects to a shared father. Amar Rabba Asya, we learn from Gzeira Shava. Achva, Achva Ibn Yaakov. We have a reference to brotherhood. Over here by Yerusha, we have the same by Bnei Yaakov, the Shvatim, who shared Yaakov as a father. And we connect the two. Ma'la halam and av, v'lim and em, just like over there. The Shvatim are considered ach achim. It says, Shneim osar avadecha achim anachnu. True brotherhood relates to a shared father. Min av, even though they were not sons of the same mother, v'lim and em, afkan here as well by Yibum. The definition, the true definition of brotherhood is min av, v'lim and em, strictly to father. Right? If they're sons of the same father, then they have the din of Achim. Ask the Gemara of Ulamali, why do we need a special Gzeirah Shavah? The pasuk over here by Yivam uses the word family. We know that the true one's true familial identity connects to his father's family. Mishpachas av kri mishpacha. Mishpachas em ena kri mishpacha. Mishpacha relates to father. As the pasuk elsewhere says, l'mishpachosam b'savosam, as we know regarding Yichus, Kayan, Levi, right? So Yerusha is limited to Mishpachas Av. So why do we need that special Gzeira Shava from the Shvatim? And Echonami says, you're 100% right. It's unnecessary. V'chi Itma, the Rabbah, Rabbah's connection, Rabbah's Gzeira Shava, was not relating to Yerusha. It's unnecessary. We know that from the Pasuk of Mishpacha. Rather, L'inyan Yivim Itmar. That was regarding Yivim. One passes away without leaving any children behind. So the brother does Yivim. Which brother? It's strictly a brother from his father's side. How do we know? Because the pasuk by Yivim says, "Kiyeshvu achim yachtav." We need achim. What defines achim? Brothers from the same father, as we find by Bnei Yaakov, where it says achim, and it was Bnei Yish Echad. Okay, so in conclusion, before one marries, he should be checking out the family, Yivdik be'achir, because his offspring will have similarities to them. We have the story of Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson, who misunderstood his Zaydas, Halak Zaydas lesson. He took it a bit too far. Do anything for Parnassah rather than resorting to handout. We learn that a son is Yerush a father before the daughter is, and brothers are Shiri father, Anoichel Umanchil. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.